Chapter 8. We'll finish up the chapter of Romans that we've been in for a while now. And I want to preach to you from Romans chapter 8. We'll start in verse 28. We'll read down to the end of the chapter if you would, when you find it, if you'd stand. And I like it. I know we don't do it every service, but I think it adds a nice touch on Sunday morning. And stand out of respect for the fact this is God's word. Let's just remind ourselves of that. Just showing God some respect. Amen. Amen. I'll tell you, if my wife wrote me a love letter and I just throw it to the side, crumble it up, don't take care of it, how would that make her feel? When she wrote that, that's her heart on paper to me, right? You know what you're holding in your hand? You're holding God's heart on paper to you.
Amen.
That's a pretty big deal. Romans chapter 8, verse number 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we say to these things? What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? My flesh likes that. My spirit does too, but my flesh likes it. Paul's just tough, man. He's tough. I mean, I'm telling you, he's one tough cookie. But his heart was right at the same time about it. It's a good thing. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Thank God for that. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, we are for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Brother Chad, would you ask God to bless the preaching, please? Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Here in verse number 28, we have a promise in the Bible that I think most all Christians been in church any more than a year have heard and know. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Now that's a great promise in the Bible for you and I to have, isn't it? All things work together for good. Can I just be totally, I'm not going to be totally honest with you whether I can or not. That verse can bother me sometimes. Because there are some things that happen in my life, in your life, in the life of people that I observe or people that I love or am acquaintance with that does not seem to match up to that verse. There are things that happen in life that do not seem to be good, do not seem to work for good. And actually, if you step back and just watch and let time play out, you can say all you want, all things work together for good, all things work together for good. But sometimes when you step back and watch, it's like, wait a minute, that did not work together for that person's good. Now, I'm not saying God's wrong. That verse is 100% right. Stay with me and you'll know why in a little bit. But there are things that happen to Christians that don't work together for their good. That actually wind up destroying them, wind up messing up their life, wind up ruining them, and it does not turn out for their good. Now let me say, it does turn out for their good if they're saved. You sufficiently confused? Is that clear as mud? Blessing so far, amen? Here's the thing about this verse. There's two aspects to it. One aspect of this verse has to do with the fact that the day is coming when you're going to lay down that body. You're going to get a glorified body. You're going to appear before Jesus Christ if you're born again, if you're saved. And in that day, everything that happened to you here is going to seem like nothing. And you're going to realize how good God actually was to you. And it's all going to work out in the end for your good if you're born again. That has to do with heaven. It has to do with salvation. And we'll see that as we get down through this chapter. There is a spiritual side to Romans 8:28 that you may or may not ever see in this lifetime. However, there's also a practical side. And that is really up to you and I as to whether or not some things that happen to us are going to fall out to our good or to our demise. Look at the verse. We know that all things work together for good. There is a condition in this verse. And it is to them that love God. You love the Lord this morning? I mean, if you truly, from the depths of your heart, from the deepest part of your being, can say, yes, preacher, I love God. I'm thankful for God. I need God. He's the very breath in my lungs. As a heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. If that's what you can say honestly, then you can be guaranteed no matter what happens to you, it is going to work out for your good now and there. But the reality is, most of the time, we don't really love God like we claim we do, do we? So things happen to us in this life, and instead of getting better, we get bitter. And once bitterness takes its root in the heart and begins to work its way throughout your being, the time will come that everywhere you go and everything you smell, every daisy that you stop by to sniff, every sunlight that comes up, every sunset that's gorgeous, it'll all be tainted, it'll all stink, it's all nasty. Everywhere you go, everything stinks, everybody stinks, everything around you stinks, and what you will not realize is the stench is under your own nostrils. What you're smelling is the BO that you're carrying with you. It's not everybody else. It's me. What is that? That's bitterness that comes because bad things happen to everybody. Why do bad things happen to good people? Why do bad things happen to bad people? Bad things happen in a sin-cursed world. I'd rather be the guy that lets things happen because they happen. Well, you know, God decreed it from the... What are you, a moron? God didn't decree that Adam and Eve were going to sin in the garden. He gave them free choice, and they chose wrong. So some things in life under the sun, read the book of Ecclesiastes, happen. Well, I'd rather go through my life in a sin-cursed world, and when those things befall me, I'd rather come out a better man. I'd rather come out more like Jesus. I'd rather come out a better vessel, more ready to be used, closer to God, more compassionate, more loving, a greater tool in the hand of God. I'd rather all the bad things work out for my good than my bitterness. But I have that choice. And the choice is made in the verse, in verse 28, to them that love God. What's the difference? The difference between those who get bitter and those who get better is the fact that some love God, and that if your love is for God, then no matter what happens, it's okay because you know that God knows, and you know God could have stopped it. He chose not to stop it. You don't understand why, but it's okay because you love God. I mean, your love and your heart and your mind and everything in you is set on God. And when everything in you is set on God, everything else pales in significance to Him. No matter what that is. But the problem is we don't love God like we should. Let me ask you a question. Thinking about Jesus Christ, did everything that happened in His life work out for good? It's not a trick question. You better believe it did. Psalm 91, one of my most favorite chapters in the Bible. You can turn there if you wish. If it's going to make a struggle for you, just hang on. I'll read it to you. Psalm 91 is a prophecy of Jesus Christ. He says this, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." How's your personal devotional life between you and God? You dwell in that secret place? "I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence." It doesn't say the snare of the fowler will never come. It doesn't say the noisome pestilence will never hit you. It says He'll deliver you from it. Watch. "He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler." Verse 5, "Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night." It doesn't say there's not going to be a terror. It says when the terror comes, you're not going to let that thing overtake you. You're not going to be afraid for the terror that flieth for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by noonday. By day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. But it shall not come nigh thee. Yeah, I was right. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Why? Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no either be evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. You see, this is pretty wild stuff, because when you look at Jesus and what He went through, He went through a lot in this world. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. But nothing ever worked out for His destruction. You know why? You'll see in a second, He set His love on God. "For He," verse 11, "shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways." Check this out. "They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone." That's the verse the devil quoted to Jesus when he was trying to make Him fall. Now that's weird. Here's the point I'm trying to make. The devil will take a verse like Romans 8:28 and use it against the Christian to try to make him fall. "All things work together for good." Yeah, right. How could this possibly be good? There's nothing good about this. Haven't you ever had your faith in the Word of God shaken just a little bit by the circumstances of life? The devil cuddles up next to you and says, "Yeah, what about that verse?" Uh-huh, sure. That's what he did to Jesus. He tried to pull a verse out of context and use it on the Lord all on its own without looking at everything around it and what God was actually saying about that thing. He says, "He'll give His angels charge of thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet." There's so much more here than I can even give you right now. Funny thing about an adder is that the mechanisms in an adder's mouth to get the poison into you are some of the most advanced of any snake in the world. When an adder hits you, it'll get you fast. Adders are not aggressive. They typically won't bother you unless you step on them or grab them. God knew that. He said, "The adder you'll trample under feet." And even though it's got a very advanced mechanism for getting poison into your body, when it strikes you, it ain't going to bother you. That's wild, ain't it? "Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet." Folks, here's the thing. Lion and adder, young lion, dragon. There's a physical piece of it in this world. Young lion, dragon has to do with something supernatural. There's a spiritual side and there's a physical side to everything that goes on in your life. A spiritual side, that dragon is like an adder with legs. You see how they make the dragon that shoots fire out of its mouth and all the stories? It's a type of the devil. Those dragons are talking about demons. God cursed the snake and said, "On thy belly shalt thou go." There's a connection between that snake and demonic activity and the devil. Look at verse 14. Because Why is it that all these negative things, I mean, such a negative chapter, so much darkness and danger and fear and so much depth to it, so much simplicity of a snake in the grass, and yet the advanced light there in Revelation that, wait, there's more than just a snake in the grass. There's something the devil's trying to do. All this just junk. And he says, with all that, you don't have to worry about it. It's such a negative chapter, he's being so positive because he has set his love upon me. The only reason he made it was because he set his love on the Father. He said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. The more the devil poured on Jesus Christ, the more the Pharisees and the brethren and the Jews and all this, the more they poured on him, the more he just got alone with his Father. He kept God at the forefront of his heart. And every negative thing that happened to him worked out for his good. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. And he did. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. And he did. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. This is not a prosperity gospel message. Romans 8:28 is not all things are going to be good. All things are going to work together for good. All things is good and bad and in between. All things is miraculous, wonderful blessings from God that only God could have done. All things is horrible, terrible, wicked, and painful things that men do to me, that the devil tries to do to me, that the world tries to do. All things are those right in the middle that just happened under the sun. It wasn't the devil. It wasn't the Lord. It was just life in a sin-cursed world. All things work together for good to them who love God. And to them who are called according to his purpose. Jesus loved the Father. He says, he shall call upon me and I will answer him and I will be with him in trouble. And I will deliver him and honor him with long life while I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Because he dwelled in the secret place and he set his love on the Father. Everything that happened to your Savior worked out for his good. Folks, are we not supposed to be following in his footsteps? Back in Romans chapter 8, please. I want you to see that in all these negative things, there's a purpose from God. Had some bad things happening to you? God has a purpose. Some painful things, some who doesn't have some dark memories? You didn't make it to 30 or 40, and nowadays you don't make it to 15, 12, without some dark memories. Bad things have happened. Listen, there will be a purpose of God in everything that happens to the believer. See, in verse number 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Well, listen, God allows things to happen to conform us into the image of Jesus Christ. Now, let me say this. Look at verse 29. For whom he did foreknow. This is a passage of scripture where the Calvinists have a heyday. What they say is, some people were predestined to be saved, other people weren't. Some are elected by God to be saved, other people weren't. The problem is they don't really know their Bible. Because the book of Colossians tells us that Jesus Christ is the elect of God. The one God elected was the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I become part of the elect when we, by faith, through the grace of God, humble ourselves and accept the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, plus nothing, minus nothing, Jesus only, I get put in Him, He is in me, I become part of the elect. At the point that I become part of the elect, I am predestinated to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. So if you're here this morning and you're born again, Romans 8:28 is going to happen to you. when you die. Romans 8:28, when you pass away, you will have your praise of God. Strangely enough, God will praise even unfaithful Christians. That's wild. I would never say that because that makes no sense to me. But he said, every man shall have his praise of God. Here is why the thing clicked for me one day when I was talking to another preacher. The reason is because it is a big deal that you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. That is huge in the eyes of God. That's his son. He elected his son. It means everything to him that you receive his son as your Savior. If that's all you did, and then you fell off the wagon, went back into sin, messed your life up, and nothing in this life ever works out for your good, when you die, you'll realize what a great thing it was to have Jesus Christ, how wonderfully that pleased the Father, and it'll be a great thing to get in heaven and say, praise God, I got saved in spite of my stinking self. Every man shall have his praise of God. You realize God has a purpose, and the purpose is to promote Jesus Christ, whom he did foreknow. Let me ask you a question. If God's sitting in eternity, you think, if he's God, you think maybe, I mean, if he put together every atom in the world, not A-D-A-M, A-T-O-M. If he makes, you know, set in motion the fact that your body and on a cellular level replaces itself, what is it, every 3 months or something like that? Trillions of cells? We're fearfully and wonderfully made. That's a weird thing, man. Crazy. The way your body works. I mean, if he's God and he can do that, you think maybe he knows who's going to get saved 5 years from now? I'm just saying. It might be that God knows 5 years from now somebody you're witnessing to is going to come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. It might be that 100 years ago, God knew that you would accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, that you would be sitting here this morning. It just might be that if he is God, he possibly could have had that one figured out. For whom he did foreknow. God's foreknowledge is to give him the respect of being God. That does not say that he picks and chooses who can and can't get saved. The Bible says, for God so loved the world. That is everybody. That he gave his only begotten son. He says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He didn't say if the elect call upon the name of the Lord. Some of these theologians get so nutty in the head that they preach a gospel message that believes the blood of Jesus Christ has a limited atonement. It can only save certain people. And they tell the stories that get in people's heads and somebody comes down to the altar and they're crying out to God to save them and God just wouldn't save them. What are you? I honestly, my question when they get that extreme, I'm not saying this about every Calvinist, but when they get that extreme, I wonder if they're not a false prophet sent from the devil. Because that person is there trying to call on God. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And if you're giving them the word of God twisted, the word of God corrupted, are they even getting the faith that they need? They're trying, but they're thinking, God can't, God won't. God can and God will. I don't care what you've done. God will save you because the purpose of God is to promote Jesus, not you.
That's good.
So it ain't about you. Well, you don't know what I've done. I don't care what you've done. I'm a horrible person. You really think somebody who did something that bad could get saved? All I know is God saved me.
Yeah.
And I don't think I'm any better than anybody else. There may be certain acts that I haven't committed, but I know I'm rotten. And I know that given the right set of circumstances, I could do probably about anything anybody else has done. I know that probably offends your sense of piety. How could you say something like that? How could you think you're better than the next person? God ain't into promoting people. God's into promoting his son. And he said, since you set your love upon me, I'm going to promote you. God will promote people. God does promote people. But God ain't into promoting people. God's into promoting Jesus. The purpose of God in everything that takes place is to promote his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That lady I mentioned to you, she come to our door, you know, getaway for the weekend, going up a cabin out in the woods, you're thinking you're safe from them. JW shows up at the door. Man. She comes in and she pops out, she knocks on the door, and I just kind of got into it right away with her. I don't remember everything. I won't say it exactly, but she got into... I went right after her, I think. I didn't really let her get anywhere. And I said, you know, I said, I have one of those. That's how I opened it. I said, I have one of those. She said, what? I said, not the Watchtower, one of your Bibles. Oh, you have one of these folks, they don't know their Bible. Not every one of them knows their Bible. She didn't know her Bible. She said, oh, a gray one? I said, no, a New World Translation. The translation your religious leaders wrote to deceive you guys. She said, huh? I said, yeah. I said, actually, in John chapter number 1, the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Your Bible says the Word was a God, trying to put Jesus Christ down on the level of an angel at best. She said, well, I said, actually, what you don't know, your religious leaders tell you that they... She said, this is wonderful, it's so easy to understand, is what she said. I said, well, what's that got to do with anything? I said, what did God say? I said, your religious leaders tell you that they rewrite it to make it closer to the originals. I said, actually, in the originals, there's not even a definite article in John chapter 1. They inserted that definite article, the little word A, to deceive you into not knowing Jesus Christ is God to the glory of God the Father. She said, well, what about Genesis chapter 1? In the beginning, God created, he said, let us make man in our image. I said, right? And you're a body, a soul, and a spirit. And you got God the Father. You got God the Son, the body, made flesh and dwelt among us. And God the Holy Spirit. What about us? I said, that doesn't bother me at all. I talk to myself all the time. Hello? What about the fact that Jesus Christ is... 1 Timothy 3:16, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto Gentiles, believed on the world, received up into glory. You know what God is? God is Jesus Christ. God is into promoting his Son. God wants you and I to know Jesus Christ. Our predestination is all about Jesus Christ. In verses 29 through 30, he said that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. That does not mean he was the first creation of God. Jesus was the creator, John chapter 1. He was the one that did the creating. He was the firstborn. That is a spiritual application. For those of you who are into rightly dividing, there was no new birth until Jesus died, was buried, and rose again the third day. He was the firstborn. That is a spiritual connotation. It has nothing to do with God creating him. It has to do with your new birth. Amen. The firstborn among many brethren. I'm born again because of Jesus. Right. You're predestined to be made like him. Verse 30, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. You realize it's already done? Well, I'm not called to preach. Where do you get that from? A Bible? Listen, I believe in the call to preach. I just think putting the word called on it is not necessarily the right word. I think what it is a gift and calling. The gift of God and the calling. The place you're at in the body of Christ. That's all it is. Well, I'm not called. According to this, if you're born again, you're called. You're called. You're predestinated. You've already been justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. And by the way, you've already been glorified. You just don't know it yet. Because God's not in time, he's in eternity. He wrote the end of the book, he's already seen you over there. That's wild, ain't it? How in the world does God call John up into the third heaven, and God sees with the Spirit on the Lord's day, and he sees a multitude, and he sees the future. He saw you standing there if you're saved. Ain't that a trip? And you think stuff in this world is so important and so special. You know what God's going to do with you someday? He's going to walk you into that new Jerusalem like a man would walk his bride into a house he'd been building for her and didn't tell her about. And it was the house of her dreams. It was more than she expected. And he's going to walk you in there and he's going to show you around. He's going to say, look what I did for you. And you're going to go, oh, I never could have imagined. You're already there. And you're worried about little stupid stuff here. You're all wound up about somebody that offended you. You're all wound up about something that said somebody said. You're all wound up about Facebook. Did you see what they said? It's easy enough. Unfriend them or unfollow them. I've been unfriended more this year than ever in the history of having a Mike Grace Reagan Facebook page. I'm like, wow, we're losing friends. I mean, we had like 500-something. I don't even know all their names, but I guess we had all these friends, and now I'm losing friends. Easy come, easy go. I mean, it's like, whatever. You're not my friend anymore. It is an adult world of elementary. No, kindergarten is what it is. It's an adult. Unfriend. You see what they said about me? Just unfollow them and get over it. Because this stuff, folks, this stuff, it don't matter. He's going to walk you in and show you around. And you're going to go, if I'd have only known, I wouldn't have treated you so bad. If I'd have only known, I wouldn't have put you on the back burner. If I'd have only known, I'd have done more for you. If I'd have only known, I wouldn't have let all that foolishness get in my mind and in my heart and in my head. If I'd have only known. You're already there. See, God wants to promote Jesus. And if God loves his son and allowed him to suffer like he did, who do we think we are that once we get saved, everything should be a bed of roses? That isn't reality. But for whatever reason, once we've trusted Jesus, all of a sudden it's like God is the enemy every time anything bad happens. Why would God let, you know, those Christians, that can't believe a Christian would do something. What kind of a Christian, what kind of a pastor, a shepherd of a flock would, what, wait a minute. You don't walk into Walmart and scream at them when their service is terrible. That's life in a sinful world, but we always like to point it out as God's fault, the Christian's fault, this fault, that fault. You know what the problem is? It's right between here. That's my problem. My mind ain't on the right stuff. I ought to be focused on him. God has a purpose. A JW woman, she said to me, she said, why would God destroy something he created? They believe they're going to stay here and this planet is heaven. I said, why would God allow a curse to fall on something he created? I said, God's going to burn it up and he's going to give us a new one. She said, well, I just don't believe Jesus is God. I said, well, then, ma'am, you're on your way to hell. Right. She said, well. I said, it's a weird thing to me that you guys can get as messed up as you can when your own Bible says 144,000 or 12,000. From each of the 12 tribes of Israel, Jewish male virgins. God is being very specific to tell you who they are. Why is it you guys can't get that stuff? Folks, he created it, sure, but he didn't create it like it is. He created it perfect. So now we live in an imperfect deal. And he knows all about that. So much so that he came down and lived in it, went through it, so that you and I can make a way of escape. The whole point being, it's all about Jesus. It's all about him coming in here to straighten up our mess. So get mad at yourself when bad things happen. Get mad at the devil. Get mad at the world. But don't get mad at God. Don't love him less. Love him more. Because he's the only way it's going to work out for your good. Verses 31 through 36, you see the protection of God. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Ain't that kind of cool?
Amen.
I mean, my attitude about this church from the beginning has been, if God's in it, it'll work out. You would not believe how many people have passed judgment on us. On me personally. Only phone call on my phone. I cannot shut my phone off. I try to learn to do that. I just can't do it. I pastor's not what I do. It's what I am. So we're up there and there's no cell reception. And I said, well, God knows. And they, in emergency, somebody could get a hold of me. So they know where I'm at. good. Only one call came through from another preacher, not even in the state. And on my way home, I finally called him back because it wasn't an emergency. He left a voicemail. And on my way home, I called him back and said, "Well, you know, brother, somebody was saying this, that, and the other thing about you, and because you don't have Baptist on your sign that you're a liberal." And I told him, and I'm just like, "No, wait a minute, Mike. Wait a minute. Who cares? Who stinking cares? If God be for us, who can be against us? I am not here to promote the name of a Baptist. I don't say that angrily or arrogantly. I have great respect for Baptist history. Used to be a great name. Nowadays, doesn't mean a lot. A certain segment of them are great guys. They got great doctrine. A small little sliver, most people don't even know. Most people in the big world, outside of the circle and the clique and the club, most people in the big world don't even know about them. It's not about the Baptist name. Guess what? It's not about the name of Mike Reagan. You take it a step further, it ain't about the name of Bible Believers Church. We're such a great church. Really? We got a great God.
Amen.
We got a great Savior.
Amen.
We got a great book. And I love my brethren, no matter what they call themselves. We're going to be forced to get along in heaven. I don't know if it's a sin or not to be mischievous. But if it's not a sin, I am going to have a riot at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Asking God to put me right in a certain section. Hi guys, believe it or not, I'm here. I'm in the bride. Folks, it ain't about none of that stuff. It's all about Jesus. So people criticize you, you get criticized, drop it. If God be for me, who can be against me? See, we get the wrong focus, don't we? We're worried about what people are saying about us. You know what they're saying? You know what they're telling us? You know, I'm made of the same stuff you're made of, so I'm not picking on you. I'm talking about us. Me. What they're saying. Who cares? I don't need to worry about what people are saying. I need to worry about God being for me. If God is for me, who can be against me? Look at verse 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? If God loved his son so much that he gave his son for me, and I have received his son as my savior, God loved me that much to give me a son. That's just mind-boggling. If I've received him, I'm no longer sitting in his judgment. I'm no longer sitting in his wrath. Jesus Christ paid my price. Jesus Christ took my judgment. Jesus Christ suffered my wrath. Now all of a sudden, I'm sitting in the safest place a human being could ever be. It's in Jesus. I'm good.
Amen.
Nothing to worry about. You know what the problem is? I don't obey his commandments. And the first and greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your might, with all your strength. That's the problem. That's why things in my life start working against me. Have you ever backslid? You ever been through it? Everything's fine for a while, peachy keen. I tell you, from day one, sooner or later, no matter how much you praise the Bible Believers Church, so glad God brought this church into my life. What a blessing it is. That's good. I mean, if you really feel that way, go for it. I'm not picking on you. I like hearing it. Amen. But the day will come when you will be offended. You will get upset. That's reality. No matter where you go. So look, it ain't all about us. It ain't about your love for this place. It's about whether or not you love God like you ought to love God. And if you love God like you ought to love God, then it won't be all about you. It won't be all about nursing your wounds and look what was done to me and I like it, I don't like it. It should be all about God. It should be all about Jesus. It should be all about the fact that whatever's going on, he does know about it. I'm not so much a free willer that God tuned out throughout the planet and has no idea what's going on in my life. God does know about it. God does realize it. God will work it out for my good. If I keep my mind right, if I keep my heart set on Jesus Christ, then whatever is going on, no matter whether I can see the good outcome or not, if I keep myself right in love with Him, that's what I mean by right, in love with Him. If you've never loved Him like you should, start loving Him today. Love Him, and whatever's going on, it'll work out for your good in His glory. Amen. But when you let those things that are going on pull your mind and your heart off track, before long, you're going to be out of serving God. Your life will be miserable. How did that marriage end? Somebody got their hearts and minds off of Jesus, and they got their eyes on each other. A weird thing, man. Before you marry her, you can know all about her faults. Her daddy can come, I don't know. And your parents are like, come here, I need to talk to you. I don't know. Oh, I love her. And you marry her and get to know her a little bit, and you don't love her anymore. I had one guy tell me after 30 years of marriage, I just don't love her anymore. She killed my love for her. What happened? Now, I understand bad things happen. I'm not harping on you. I get it. But I'm just saying, those of you who are normal in your marriage and you're trying, start picking at each other, and it gets worse and worse, doesn't it? You love Him and keep your eyes on Him, and He makes you more like Jesus. How is it some Christians can suffer like they do and keep a smile on their face? They got their eyes on Jesus. Have joy right through the middle of it. You don't see that very often. There's a protection that comes from God. But the protection of God comes from being on God's side. It comes from loving His Son. He that spared not His Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall not with Him also freely give us all things? Look at verse 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Well, you know, brother, have you heard about brother so-and-so? And I was thinking, you better be quite careful. God knows all about His bride's faults. How about, fellas? How about it, gentlemen? You know your wife has some faults? You can shake your head. She won't kill you. Do you know she has some faults? Right? How about it, ladies? Your husband has some faults? Go ahead. They all know. Yeah, amen. Right? And when you get really frustrated, you'll say things you don't really mean or you feel bad for later, right? How about when somebody else walks up and says, you know, I need to talk to you for a second. Your wife. How's that make you feel? Is that okay? Not okay, is it? How about it, ladies? Somebody come up to you, you know, your husband. I don't know how you do it. Boy, you'd be like, right? You should be. If not, something's wrong. How do you think God sits in heaven and sees you sometimes as His kid, as His bride, and shakes His head? But you think when that old devil comes up there and says, God, did you see what Reagan just did? God says, who are you talking about? That's my boy. Whew. Praise God for that. It's God that justifieth. And can I tell you why He justified? Because of Jesus. It ain't because of me. It's because of Jesus. You see, the protection of God is coming from being on God's side, but that comes from loving His Son like you ought to love His Son. I want God's protection. I want it. I want it bad. But I know that I have it because of Jesus, not because of Mike. I want to stay close to my Savior because I see verses where God says He will discipline His kids. I want to get close and I want to stay close. It comes from the work of Jesus. Verse 34, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. The protection of God comes from the work that Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary. That protection ain't in me or what I'm doing. I'm going to do right. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. So that way God won't. We become so mystical and super spiritual sometimes that we get out of reality. The reality is that judgment was passed on Jesus. And so I'm safe as long as I'm in Jesus. Praise God for that, I'm eternally safe. But in my walk with God, it ain't about me being perfect, because we all mess up. It's about me loving the Lord as best as I know how to love him. Look at the power of God, and it's the last thing we'll see. Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Look at all that negative stuff. Some bad stuff happening to people who are born again. I mean, in the U.S., we think persecution is, no, not right now. Oh, you're one of those Jesus freaks? Oh, my goodness. You believe the Bible? Oh, wait, what do you think of homosexuals? Being persecuted. It's really ridiculous. Watch a little girl in Haiti sit in the street and hold her stomach, a 13-year-old girl. Because her demon-possessed witch of an aunt practicing voodoo poisoned her food because she came to our Christian service. That's a little more along the lines of persecution in my book. 13. You know what she did the next night? She showed up at church. Amen. Her aunt lived directly across the street. Right there. I mean, across the alley. It's like you can fit one car up it. Right there. And she came. She did the next night. She came back the next night. She came every night because she wanted to hear more about Jesus. And would get tortured by her aunt. Literally, she put stuff in her food, make her sick. Tear her stomach up. And we think we're persecuted. You guys, we got brothers and sisters in Christ in the Middle East watching their family die. Getting blown up and beheaded. That's reality right now. While we sit here in our air-conditioned church. Preacher should have installed two because one's not enough for this place. It's a little sticky this morning, wasn't it? Driving home in our air-conditioned vehicles. Those of us who are really suffering have to roll down the window. Oh, the air conditioning doesn't work in this thing. It's ridiculous. We have it so good, and we still get off track, don't we? Well, if they do start persecuting us, they ain't going to separate me from the love of God. Distress, tribulation, famine. None of us look like we're starving. And if you are, please come tell me. You won't be within an hour. If you're starving, we will feed you. We won't pay your bills forever, but we will get you a meal. Amen. Or nakedness, or peril, or sword. Verse 36, look at this. As is written, for thy sake we are killed. All the day long we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. That's what they did to early Christians. They brutally slaughtered them. Dump them in boiling oil. Whole body in boiling oil. Kill your family in front of you and kill you less so you can watch your family die. Feed you to lions. And we think, oh, how could Romans 8:28 be true? I'm tithing and my furnace still went out. My transmission just went out. That 10% deal between us and God means he's going to give us the American dream because we're cutting him a little 10%. That's the way our minds work. As is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Now let me be a little bit more compassionate after the reality check. I struggle sometimes. Don't you? I get very discouraged sometimes. Don't you? I don't have it as bad as other people, but that does not delete the fact that there are times that I really struggle. I really get discouraged. I really get frustrated. I really feel hurt. I really feel wronged. Don't you? The problems of life are real. Financial, health, family. Can I tell you something? If you'll set your love on Jesus Christ, keep your eyes on him, then verse number 37 will one day be your song. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. You can beat anything that's pulling you away from God. You can beat anything you're going through. You can whoop anything that's trying to get in there and wreck your life. You can win more than a conqueror. I mean, I think a conqueror, I think of Genghis Khan. I don't like him at all, but I think of Adolf Hitler. I don't like anything about him. I think of Mussolini. I think of Napoleon Bonaparte. You think of a guy that's just a conqueror. I mean, man, to take over a large portions of the world and set your eyes on taking the whole world. Wow. And the Bible says you and I are more than any of them if we'll set our love on Jesus Christ. No matter what comes your way, you'll come out for it better off if you love him like you should. For I'm persuaded that neither death, when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll be able to stop and sniff that lily, because Jesus is there. Nor life, all the things that happen in this world, nor angels. That ain't talking about the holy angels. I did a little research on it to make sure those holy angels obey the commandments of God. There are other angels. I just wish I had time to show you. I don't have time to show you, but there are other angels that are out there that don't want you to have anything to do with God. They will get in your way. I had one guy I used to meet with regularly. He sent me a text message saying he doesn't think the universe wants us to talk anymore. Okay. The universe doesn't want it. A smart guy, a normal guy. If you met him, you'd never know. It's his belief system. I said, yeah, I thought, yeah, I'll bet you those principalities and powers, those angels that you are serving, don't want you to talk to me anymore, do they? Because we're hitting it off, and God's going to use me to get a hold of you, and the universe told them not to talk to me anymore. There's stuff out there, folks. I'm just telling you. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm telling you there's stuff out there. Nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth. I mean, hey, get up there in the universe. There's nothing up there in the universe that can come between you and Jesus. Get down there into hell. There's nothing in hell that can come between you and Jesus Christ. You got it if you got him. Nothing's taking you out. Nor any other creature. Weird, man. There's so much to it. I could do a whole semester's institute on these things that he just listed. Nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Watch it. Look at verse 35. Shall separate us from the love of Christ. Look at verse 39. Separate us from the love of God. Jesus Christ is God. Exact same phraseology, Christ, God, they're one and the same. And nothing can separate you from his love. Nothing. I don't care what you've done, nothing can separate you if you're saved. He said it, not me. You don't like it, or don't understand it, take it up with him. My job, I'm just a messenger boy. I'm just the water boy. That's all I am. Nothing can separate you. Here's the deal, though. Romans 8:28, taking place in this life, has everything to do with your love for him. Now, that's entirely different than his love for you. You want stuff to work out for your good, for his glory? Set your heart on him this morning. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.